Members, please register their presence by voting. Has any member failed to register their presence? Clerk might take the quorum. Got no clerk. House stand at ease. House come to order. Clerk may take the quorum. Mr. Miller.
Excuse me.
34 present, 6 absent.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, following members are excused from the call of the House today. Representative Helen Byrne, Representatives Buchholz, Fisher, Osterbeck, Ostrowski, Smith, and Wallace. I'll move and ask unanimous consent that other absent members be shown as excused on official state business.
Without objection, so ordered. Would you please rise for prayer by lay Rabbi Danny Plotnick, the Juneau Jewish community.
Let us pray. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for persons of different faiths and persuasions to dwell together in unity. It has been told of thee, O Lord, what is good and what the Lord doth require of thee, only to do justice and justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. As we approach the Sabbath, may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord let his countenance shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And may the Lord lift up his countenance and give thee peace. Amen.
Mr. Cotton. Without objection, so ordered. Clerk certify to the correctness of the previous day's journal.
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 67th day.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent this body approve the journal as certified by the Chief Clerk for the 67th day.
There being no objection, so ordered. This brings us to introduction of guests, so there are guests to be introduced to the House. It's amazing. Almost a first, I think. Does the clerk have messages from the governor?
Dear Mr. Speaker, I have signed the following and I'm transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's Office for permanent filing. House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 353, Chapter 20, SLA 1976. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 89. House Concurrent Resolution Number 92, amended by the Senate. House Special Concurrent Resolution Number 2. House Resolution Number 4. Signed sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
You have messages from the other House.
The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted herewith for consideration. Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 88, amended by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, relating to the Public School Foundation Program.
Education and Finance.
Senate Bill Number 490, amended by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act making miscellaneous amendments in the corporation statutes and providing for an effective date.
Commerce and Judiciary.
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 526, amended by the Labor and Management Committee, an act relating to safety provisions in elevators and providing for an effective date.
Commerce.
Senate Bill Number 673 by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to judicial appointments.
Judiciary and Finance.
Senate Bill Number 690, amended by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act creating the regional resource center areas and boards and prescribing their organization powers and duties and providing for an effective date.
Education and Finance.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I neglected earlier. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Greening be excused from the call on Monday and Tuesday. Today and Monday.
Without objection, so ordered. Does the clerk have general communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk have standing committee reports.
The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 336 under relating to treatment and services for intoxicated persons and persons incapacitated by alcohol and to the presence of intoxicated persons in licensed premises under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Malone, chairman, concurred in by Haugen, Guy, Itta, Duncan, and Malone. Having no recommendation, Greening, Naughton, and Cooper. Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 336 has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 214 relating to absentee voting under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 214 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Gardner, chairman, concurred in by Gardner, Bradley, Cotton, Parr, and Brown. Having no recommendation, Eliason and Specking. House Bill 214 has no further referral. The Committee on Labor and Management has had House Bill 588 relating to occupational safety and health under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendments. The report was signed by Mr. Smith, chairman, concurred in by Smith, Urian, and M. Byrne. Kelly has no recommendation. House Bill 588 has a further referral to Judiciary. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 661, a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Administration for cost of living adjustments and salary increases for certain state employees not covered by a collective bargaining agreement, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 661 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Malone, chairman, concurred in by Malone, Duncan, Cooper, Haugen, Guy, and Itta. House Bill 661 has no further referral. The Committee on Rules has had House Bill 672, an act changing the name of the head of Legislative Affairs Agency from Executive Director to Administrator, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendment. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, chairman, concurred in by Parker, Miller, Cotton, and Naughton. Having no recommendation, Specking. House Bill 672 appears on today's calendar. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 730, providing for a tourism economic impact study and authorizing a data collection system, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Malone, chairman, concurred in by Malone, Duncan, Naughton, Itta, Guy, Haugen, and Greening. House Bill 730 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 731, a special appropriation to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development for a study of the economic impact of tourism and the establishment of a data collection system, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Malone, chairman, concurred in by Malone, Duncan, Naughton, Itta, Guy, Haugen, and Greening. House Bill 731 has no further referral. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 755 relating to telephone service regulation under consideration. The members of the committee recommend it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bradley, chairman, concurred in by Bradley, Kelly, Rudd, and McKinnon. Having no recommendation, Urian, Freeman, and Rode. House Bill 755 has no further referral. The Select Committee on Education has had House Bill 764, a special appropriation to the Department of Education, under consideration. The members of the committee report it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, chairman, signing do pass, Osterbach, and Parr. Having no recommendation, Hackney, Swanson, and H. Byrne. House Bill 764 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 769 relating to log brands under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommend it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 769 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Anderson, chairman, concurred in by Anderson, Swanson, Brown, Huntington, Rode, and Smith. House Bill 769 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Commerce has had sponsor substitute for House Bill 823, providing for state chartered credit unions, under consideration. Two of the members of the committee recommend it be replaced with committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 823 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Bradley, chairman, signing do pass, Bradley and McKinnon. Signing do not pass, Freeman, Rudd, Urian, and Rode. Having no recommendation, Kelly. Sponsor substitute for House Bill 823 has a further referral to Judiciary. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 842 relating to pay differentials between state ferry employees residing inside and outside the state, under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommend it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 842 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Malone, chairman, concurred in by Cooper, Haugen, Guy, Naughton, Itta, Duncan, and Malone. House Bill 842 has no further referral. The Select Committee on Education has had House Bill 861, establishing the State Educational Incentive Grant Program, under consideration. Three of the members of the committee recommend it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, chairman, concurred in by Osterbach, H. Byrne, and Parr. Having no recommendation, Hackney and Swanson. Hospital 861 has a further referral to judiciary. Have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, have special committee reports.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of resolutions.
House Joint Resolution Number 63 by the Select Committee on Education, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to contracting with private educational institutions.
Judiciary.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, have bills for introduction.
House Bill Number 876 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Council Subcommittee on Revenue and Taxation, an act providing for state taxes and revenues and providing for an effective date.
Commerce and Finance.
House Bill Number 877 by the Finance Committee with a committee report, an act providing a new salary schedule and cost of living increase for certain employees of the state not covered by a collective bargaining agreement and providing for an effective date.
Rules.
Should I read the committee?
Would the clerk read the committee report, please?
The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 877 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommend it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Malone, Chairman, concurred in by Duncan, Cooper, Guy, Itta, Malone, and Haugen. House Bill 877 has no further, goes to rules. House Bill Number 878, with a transmittal letter by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to the Alaska Mining License Tax and providing for an effective date.
Resources and Finance.
House Bill 879, with a transmittal letter by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to planning grants for area-wide health planning and development activities and providing for an effective date.
HESS and Finance. Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, may we be these?
House stand at ease. House come to order. The clerk read the first bill on the calendar.
House Bill Number 583 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to the oil and gas exploration, production, and pipeline transportation property taxes and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 583 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 583 and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Malone, Chairman, concurred in by Malone, Buchholz, Duncan, Naughton, Greening, Cooper, and Guy. Having no recommendation, Itta and Haugen. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Objections noted. Objector may respond if he wishes. Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to know what the difference is between the two bills.
Mr. Cooper. $1.20 a barrel, and
the revenue to the state is cut by a substantial extent. This practice is engaged in by some companies in other countries. The amendment section 6 and section 7 allow the Commissioner of Revenue to calculate the reasonable costs of transportation when the actual costs come as a result of charges between affiliated corporations, sort of sweetheart contracts, and where a company is using a means of transportation that simply isn't really economically feasible, where there's an alternative, cheaper method of transportation. This language was drafted by the administration, it's supported by the administration, and that's the reason for it. Section 7, incidentally, is a slight amendment which allows the commissioner to determine the sale price where there's the same type of arrangement, a so-called sweetheart deal. It allows the commissioner to set the value. He is allowed to set the cash price at this time, and cash price is not near so well defined in law as value, so we wanted to change that while we were at it. That is also supported by the administration.
Any other discussion, Mr. Anderson?
I still maintain my objection, Mr. Speaker. I believe that this portion of the bill that's being added to the original bill, House Bill number 583, should have had Resource Committee review. It doesn't seem to add or do anything to the original bill, and I have no objection to House Bill number 583. I agree with its intent, but with that additional language, I just don't believe that I can go for it.
Mr. Anderson, I can see a very heavy impact on the Commerce Committee. And I'm sure they could put up a squawk. Mr. Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, I don't care to exercise my right as chairman to squawk on this bill. I'm happy that the Finance Committee worked on it diligently, and I respect those members. And as we all know, that has a substantive cross-section of indigenous people and geographic areas. So I think they've probably done their homework and a good job.
Mr. Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I believe that the amendments in the committee substitute, Mr. Speaker, their primary impact is financial. I don't think that there is any significant impact on the resource itself. I think they're properly the purview of the Finance Committee.
Question is, to the committee substitute be adopted? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
The committee substitute is adopted. Does the clerk have amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number 1 by Cooper and Specking. This is the one that's been duplicated and placed on each member's desk.
Mr. Cooper.
Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that amendment number 1 be adopted.
Objection. Objections noted, Mr. Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, as the members know, this bill was withdrawn from the calendar earlier this week, and there, among other problems, there was a sort of a problem of circular language there, and so that Section B of or subpart B of Section 6 there was rewritten. So that the language was clearer. Also, it occurred to us that where there are pipeline facilities over which there is control by the Alaska Pipeline Commission or other qualified agencies, that there is some control over that price. So we also added language which made any tariff properly on file by an appropriate agency presumptively reasonable, so that the at least we have that that control within the agency. The commissioner is allowed to, or actually the Department of Revenue is allowed to compute whatever the reasonable cost of transportation is with reference to these standards that we put in here.
Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I still object. Again, I'll maintain the same objection that I did earlier to adoption of the committee substitute. We are going to be holding extensive hearings on oil and gas matters in the beginning Tuesday next week, and I'm sure this problem, if it is a problem, would have come up under those lengthy discussions that we're anticipating. Again, I feel that the original bill was adequate. I still feel, though, as though this particular section of the bill should have had a resource committee referral, and I still stand on it. Thank you.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to inquire of the sponsors of the amendment about the last sentence of the amendment. Have you discussed it, or what conversations have you had with counsel within the Legislative Affairs Agency or other legal advice regarding that particular standard? Is it just enough, considering the context of the section and the chapter, to use the phrase shall be deemed prima facie reasonable? Is there any other consideration? What kind of a problem is there regarding rebutting this reasonableness? What burden of proof is there to rebut it? How have these matters been addressed?
Mr. Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, to answer as much as I can understand of the previous speaker's inquiry, there is a presumption that a tariff rate is reasonable. If the commissioner feels, or if the commissioner or other parties feel that that it's unreasonable, then there must be some burden of proof put on the commissioner to show that it isn't reasonable. In other words, he's got to come forward and show that there's something wrong with the tariff, and that it isn't it was not set appropriately, and we thought it would be better to put the burden of proof on the commissioner in this instance, because after all, the commissioner, the pipeline commission, or whatever the appropriate agency is, possibly the Interstate Commerce Commission, has in fact gone through this in some detail, and presumably there's a check on abuses within that regulatory body, so that the commissioner would have to come forward his burden would be to come forward with a preponderance of the evidence to show that the pipeline tariff is unreasonable.
Is there any more discussion? Question is, shall amendment number 1 be adopted? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Amendment's adopted. Clerk, read the next amendment.
Amendment number 2 by Anderson. Page 2, line 9. Delete section 6. Renumber sections accordingly.
Mr.
Anderson.
I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Second. Objections noted. Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, again, I go back to the original argument. I think that this goes beyond the purview of any previous committee's examination. I'm not sure how this particular section would be implemented. I'm not sure of its ramifications. I'm not sure how thoroughly that has been examined. Going to the amendment that was adopted there, we now have the Alaska Pipeline Commission involved in this, and in our review of the Alaska Pipeline Commission's capacity or ability to make these kinds of decisions, we found in our Senate Joint Resource Committee interview of the one of the people that we're going to be confirming, we find that their budget is way below what they ought to have, and their capacity is somewhat questionable. And whether or not they could make a decision on fixing tariff rates and so forth is very questionable at this time. Again, going back to the substance of the section that I wish to delete from the committee substitute for House Bill 583, I believe that the bill, if it does do this, should go back to the Resources Committee for referral. I just think that that section should not be in the bill. The original intent of the previous bill is sufficient, and I believe I can't argue with the Finance Committee that the House Bill 583 was within their area of jurisdiction. With the addition of this new section, I think it should have had a further referral. Thank you.
Question is, shall amendment number 2 be adopted? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Amendment fails. The clerk have other amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill number 583 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There be no objection. Committee substitute for House Bill 583 is advanced from second to third reading, placed on final passage. Will the clerk read the bill for the third and final time?
Committee substitute for House Bill number 583 amended by the Finance Committee, an act relating to oil and gas taxes and providing for an effective date.
The bill is before you for discussion and debate. Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, could we have a discussion of the other portions of the bill? There's been quite a lot of debate on the amendments added by the Finance Committee. Maybe they could review for us what the original bill, the first couple sections, was about.
Mr. Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, I was planning to do that. The key to the bill is Section 3. Section 3 changes the date of collection of the ad valorem tax on pipeline and production equipment. The effect of the change is to move it, the data collection, from September the 1st to June the 30th, and September the 30th till June the 30th. What that does is it puts this year, in FY76, it puts $70 million into this fiscal year. Some of you may be aware that the state has a cash flow problem, which is not the same thing as having a deficit. We've got certain money in the general fund. However, the Commissioner of Revenue is required to buy up certain loans with some of the general fund, such as veterans loans and others. These loans are just not that easy to sell when you need cash. And the reason for moving up the date of collection of this tax is to solve that cash flow problem. It will give us an extra $70 million in FY76 that otherwise would have gone into FY77, an extra $58 million in FY77, an extra $24 million in 78, and then it levels out. The net effect on the taxpayers is zero, except for the value of the money during that fairly brief period of time. Section 1 and Section 2 takes care of the problem where a municipal entity like a borough, they can also tax under this section, and then that their tax is credited against the state take. They can also do that, and so this Section 1 provides for the same credit that's available now if the municipality makes its collection before June the 30th. If they make it after June the 30th, then in effect, the municipality sends the bill to the state because the state's already collected the money. Thank you.
Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I certainly have no objection to the previous speaker's statements. I think what has been attempted is fine and noble. I have no objection to it. The only thing I object to, of course, is the addition of the new section that I feel is not relevant to the intent and purposes of the original bill. And for that reason, I oppose the bill, and I hope that some members of the body will see it my way and probably cast a few no votes against the bill. Thank you.
Question is, committee substitute for House Bill 583 passed the House. The members may proceed to vote. Has anybody failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, 4 nays, 6 excused.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent the roll call on committee substitute for House Bill 583 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
There are no objections, so ordered. Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I wish to serve notice of reconsideration for my vote on committee substitute for House Bill number 583.
Reconsideration is noted. Clerk, read the next item on the calendar.
House Bill number 672 by Brown, an act changing the name of the head of Legislative Affairs Agency from Executive Director to Administrator. The Committee on Rules has had House Bill 672 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendment. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, concurred in by Parker, Miller, Cotton, and Naughton, having no recommendation, specking. I have one amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'm going to ask unanimous consent this body adopt Rules Committee Amendment number 1.
Without objection, amendment's adopted. So, clerk, have other amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill number 672 amended be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There are no objection. House Bill 672 is advanced to second, third reading, placed on final passage. The clerk read the bill for the third and final time.
House Bill number 672 amended by Brown, an act changing the name of the head of Legislative Affairs Agency from Executive Director to Administrator.
Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't know whether it's fair for Mr. Urien to continue timing me right now since it is my bill, but I'm sure that he'll exercise his own discretion in that regard. Mr. Speaker, this is a matter that is consistent with the actions taken by the Legislative Council in restructuring the Legislative Affairs Agency. It's, we get tired of the little joke, I suppose, just a little housekeeping measure, but that's all it is, really. And the reason for the change, as some of the members who are here who are on council will remember, is to put the administrator or top executive in our branch at the same level as far as the title and protocol is concerned, I suppose, as the administrator of the Alaska court system. And the people who are the head of the various divisions, the director of legal services, the director of research services, and so forth, are called directors, and that's the only nature of the change. It does not affect in any way any of the substantive law in Title 24 regarding the structure of the agency, matters regarding the legislature, or anything else under that purview. And apparently the Rules Committee did catch a drafting error and took care of that in the amendment. So I urge the passage of the bill.
Mr. Specking. Mr. Miller.
Speaker, the minority House housekeeping.
Any other discussion? Question is, shall House Bill 672 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Mr. Huntington. Any member wish to change their vote, Mr. Huntington? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, 4 nays, 6 excused.
House Bill 672 has passed the House. Will the clerk read the next item on the calendar?
House Bill number 717 by Bradner, Brown, and Miller, an act relating to instruction centers in public buildings and providing for an effective date. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 717 under consideration. A majority of the members of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendment. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, concurred in by McKinnon, Wallace, H. Byrne, Fisher, Miller, Parker, and M. Byrne. I have two amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, read the First Amendment.
Amendment number one by the State Affairs Committee. Page 1, line 22. After the word filed, delete the rest of the sentence and insert a written determination with the Department of Public Works explaining the reason the facility is not required. Page 1, line 26. Delete purposes and insert and employee or community meetings.
Mr. McKinnon.
I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number one.
Objections noted. Mr. McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, the purpose of the first portion of the amendment is to require the Department of Education to give a specific reason in their written statement as to why the facility would be unnecessary. The second portion simply expands the definition of instruction center to include conference rooms and multi-purpose rooms so that the bill wouldn't necessitate the construction of a separate facility when, in fact, a conference room or a multi-purpose room could be used for the purpose.
Objections withdrawn. If there's no other objection, amendment's adopted. Clerk, read the Second Amendment.
Amendment number two by Mr. Specking. Page one, lines 15 through 19. After 1976, add a period and delete all material.
Mr. Specking.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask for the unanimous consent for adoption of amendment number two.
Second. Objections noted, Mr. Specking.
All right. Well, Mr. Speaker, what I'm going to have to do is remove the provision that when the remodeling cost is, say, $250,000 or more, then we have to provide this. I have grave doubts whether or not that would be practical. I'd like to bring the body's attention that building costs now in these search areas will have to be running in the neighborhood of $200 a square foot. And assuming that you had a building that were, say, the size of a real large home, for example, you could probably spend $250,000 as opposed to it to bring it into some other shape so it's usable. I would submit that a smaller building simply doesn't lend itself to putting in an additional room. Now, the purpose of the language obviously is to bring all of these public buildings into conformity to have this specialized room for instruction and purchase. But I just think that the requirement that this remodeling requirement for all buildings is just simply isn't practical. There's oftentimes not space available in time of building for this special purpose that's being sought. And that's very simply the reason for the amendment.
Mr. Miller, then Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, that is exactly why we put in a safety valve in Section B that allows the state, if it determined that it is not feasible, to say, no deal, you don't have to worry about this. On the other hand, when it is practical, it's very possible that these rooms, these need not be set aside as a special chapel that's only going to be used on these rare occasions. The regular workaday rooms of a building can very well also serve in the capacity that's called for here. It's just that whenever buildings, and this particularly would apply to buildings constructed outside of the Juneau, Fairbanks, Anchorage areas, where there just is a shortage of meeting halls, meeting places for people. And this just says that if some renovation is going to take place, at least strong consideration has to be given to designing that renovation so that maybe some desks can be slid aside or some panels can be slid back, and these rooms that can then become used for these instructional and public meeting places.
Mr. Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I would like to have the amendment read again. I may have been listening incorrectly, but it seemed to me that if the period was placed in line 15, the section would make no sense. Maybe I didn't hear it correctly.
I think the amendment is perhaps technically deficient, but I was presuming that it might not pass anyway. The question is, shall amendment number 2 pass the House? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
My instinct was very correct. Does the clerk have other amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill number 717 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, House Bill 717 is advanced to second to third reading, placed on final passage. Will the clerk read the bill for the third and final time?
House Bill number 717 amended by Bradner, Brown, and Miller, an act relating to instruction centers in public buildings and providing for an effective date.
The bill is before you for discussion and debate. Question is, shall House Bill 717 pass the House? Mr. Huntington.
Yeah, I'm not clear on what they're talking about exactly here. Talking about the public buildings and schools and stuff are not only the public building, not only the place where they learn either, you know. In the villages, we have a lot of community halls, which are quite large, and they're public buildings. And how are they affected by this bill? That's what I'd like to know.
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Speaker, that's exactly the point of this bill. Now, bear in mind that we only have jurisdiction over state public buildings. If the federal government wants to build a public building, we don't have any control over that at all, or for that matter, if the municipality builds a public building, we don't have any control. But where state public buildings are concerned, this bill says that a room either is set aside or at least accommodations are made within an existing framework of rooms within the building that can accommodate the public, because as the representative from the Nanette well knows, there is, particularly in the smaller communities, very often a shortage of places where public meetings can be held, not only instructional meetings, but just public meetings, where visiting people can come in and speak to groups, that sort of thing. And this just seeks to make the designers sit down in advance of construction and try to accommodate the needs of the people in those types of communities before the building is built.
Mr. Huntington.
I'm not objecting to the bill at all. What I'm I don't see it clear in here where it says state buildings.
Mr. Miller.
No, Mr. Speaker, it's only clear because that's the only jurisdiction we have. I mean, there's just no way we could have any jurisdiction over any other buildings than state buildings.
Mr. Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to ask Mr. Miller the basis for his contention or his statement that the public buildings does not apply to municipalities. Did I understand you right? Is that what you said?
That's correct. Mr. Miller.
Well, I haven't researched it legally, but I've just never thought that we had control over municipal public buildings any more than we have it over buildings in private enterprise that are used by the public. A hotel might be considered a public building and it's utilized by the public, but we certainly have no control over it other than the police powers of fire protection, police, and that sort of thing.
Mr. Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, I think the answer is that this appears in Title 35, which is Public Buildings and Works, and the definition section says public building means a building owned or controlled and held by the state for government or public use. So I think because it appears in this section with that definition, it would only apply to state buildings.
Is there any other discussion? Question is, shall House Bill 717 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. If any member failed to vote, clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, 4 nays, 6 excused.
House Bill 717 has passed the House. Mr. Miller.
Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on House Bill 717 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Without objection, so ordered. Representative Ida.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. May we revert back to introduction of guests?
Without objection, revert to the introduction of guests. You have the floor.
I'd like to introduce two people, two individuals from my district, and they are real activists both in Barrow and Kotzebue, and I really appreciate their efforts. In Gallery A, the first one is June Nelson from Kotzebue. And the other one is Annie Brower from Barrow.
Mr. Guy.
An introduction this morning, Mr. Speaker. I'm happy to be introducing a person who is a valuable asset to the state, my region, the Yukon-Kuskokwim area, my district, District 17, an individual who has been very active in the area of education, Mrs. Susan Murphy, in Gallery 8.
Mr. Cooper.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to introduce a gentleman who was formerly the president of ASUA at the University of Alaska, who's presently the chairman of the Commission on Public Transit for the Fairbanks North Star Borough, Mr. Rick Davidge.
Any other introductions? Is there anything to come before the House in unfinished business? Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 672.
Your reconsideration is noted.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent to take up my reconsideration at this time.
Mr. Urien, you can make that motion. Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, why the bill is brought before us in reconsideration. Have to stand at these while the clerk retrieves the bill. It's already been sent out. Mr. Malone, did you want the floor temporarily?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have the bill in front of us. That's a very unusual motion. I'd like to ask Mr. Urien, if he cares to respond, why he's putting this bill up for reconsideration today.
Mr. Urien.
Well, Mr. Speaker, it really is no biggie, as we've heard on the floor here, but in the words of Mr. Bradley, there's hardcore and softcore legislation. And I've determined that this, of what we had on the calendar today, this is the softest score, and I'd like this opportunity to try out my green button.
The bill is before us, and we're really, really beyond the issue of debating whether it should come before us. So I think it'd be correct for us to stand at ease and wait till we get the bill and can read it into the body and get something before us. House will stand at ease. Would the clerk read House Bill 672 in third reading?
House Bill Number 672, amended by Brown, an act changing the name of the head of Legislative Affairs Agency from Executive Director to Administrator.
Mr. Urien.
Mr. Speaker, what I'm really doing is preparing my Democratic friends for the fiasco they're about to have this weekend in their convention. I just want you to be prepared for things like this.
Mr. Brown, you come from the wrong district to be claiming personal privilege, but you can have the floor.
Mr. Chairman, that's precisely why I sought the point of personal privilege. I'd like to report that another area of the state had a very peaceful convention this last weekend, as is our tradition up there. And if the Anchorage Democrats wish to commit Harry Carey this weekend, it'll be in the great tradition of that branch of the party for the last 35 years.
Mr. Freeman, are you defending Southeastern?
With Mr. Urey, and maybe his motives is as pure as he says they are, but I suspect he's juggling the pool on how long Mr. Brown is going to talk today.
Question is, shall House Bill 672 pass the House? The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may close the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk may take the roll.
Yeas, 5 nays, 9 excused.
House Bill 672 has passed the House. Mr. Specking. Without objection, then, so ordered. Mr. Parker.
Mr. Speaker, under unfinished business, yesterday in our chat about whether or not that list of lobbyists that was on our desk was an update or complete, I said part of the explanation was you could tell it was not a complete list because there are only 30-some listed. And I didn't have at that time the total number, but I checked on it this morning. There are actually 145 lobbyists registered to affect the legislature this year, representing 166 clients.
Anything more to come before the House on finished business? Mr. Malone.
Thank you, Speaker. Bill report read today from the Resources Committee on House Bill 769, dealing with log grants, has a further referral to finance. With permission of the chair, I'd like to waive the finance referral on that bill.
Without objection, then the referral will be waived. Is there anything more to come before the House and unfinished business? Special orders. Committee announcements. Mrs. Sullivan.
Mr. Speaker, House Hess will meet this afternoon at 3 o'clock to discuss House concurrent resolutions 101 through 106 and House Bill 742 relating to benefits for the blind. The concurrent resolutions relate generally, Mr. Speaker, to long-term care.
Mr. Bradley.
House Commerce, 8 a.m., will be taking up only bills that we've had up before us in the past, sort of a cleanup session.
Mr. McKinnon.
State Affairs will meet at 1:30 in joint session with House Finance to consider the nomination of Andrew Warwick to be Commissioner of Administration.
Mr. Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, Community and Regional Affairs will meet Monday morning at 9, and we have House Bill 797 and 798 dealing with alternative sewer and water system study.
Mr. Gardner.
Mr. Speaker, our hearing today on the determinant sentencing bill has been canceled because some people weren't able to make it. So instead, we'll be taking up House Bill 873 by the Speaker.
Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, the House Resources Committee will meet this afternoon at 1:30 a.m. to listen to the governor's staff on bond proposal for $44,455,100 for fishing game facilities and sponsor substitute for House Bill 626 relating to establishment of marine sanctuaries.
House stand at ease. House come to order. Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I was stand corrected on the time that I gave for this afternoon's meeting. It should have been 1:30 p.m. rather than 1:30 a.m. I think that was an error. Then tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., Saturday, I believe it is, House Bill 849 relating to leases of state land for oil and gas and taking of royalty gas, and House Bill 850 relating to waste of oil and gas, And also on Monday, March 22nd, House Bill 870, a special appropriation to the Bristol Bay Regional Development Council.
So any more committee announcements? Mr. Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Finance Committee is going to have a light forum over the weekend, so we will meet at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning to take up a light agenda, which I don't have with me, to be posted on the board following the session today.
Chair might indicate Anchorage delegation is going north, and as near as we can determine, everybody should be back by Monday morning, so we will convene at the regular time. However, weather being what it is, we could end up with a problem on Monday morning, and I just want to advise the body of that. In that case, we might have problems with the quorum or have to delay the opening of the session. Mr. Miller.
Not yet, you don't. Mr. Speaker, I'll move and ask unanimous consent this body stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Monday morning.
Without objection, we're in adjournment.